At the bottom of the slope, across a water meadow, the ground was broken up by a crisscross of waterways, keeping us from the woodland where the road would run. This was Speenham Moor, part of the Speenham Estate. We continued on down into the woods to the left of the water. The trees here were low and thin due to the waterlogged soil, oaks branching out into snake-like contortions, other trees dense with their ivy. It was very quiet. The moor was a world of its own. Someone found some white swan feathers and we all carried one with us, walking in silence along by the water, overshadowed even in the winter by the swathes of gnarled trees. The earth was very damp and full of moss and gave way easily to our boots. A train echoed past from the south, way off and from another country altogether. Everything echoes in the cold when the clouds are close. I put the feather in my hair and there was no one to stop me. We eventually found a bridge that would take us across the rest of the moor and away from the maze of waterlogged pockets of woodland. The fishermen's bridges seemed ancient, the rotten ones obviously were, and felt like signs of a half-hidden culture, the sole remnants of the moor's retiring population. The old wardens and fishermen, lock keepers and other old men of the moor were nowhere to be seen, as though they were already dead or watching us, cunning and quiet from the bushes. The rest of the moor was mostly open to the sky, which seemed very large in this flat expanse of land. A strange melancholy began to sink in as we walked south. The deep tranquility of the place was laced with the knowledge that soon it wouldn't be tranquil here at all. Soon it would be full of machinery and engines and the coming and going of people who didn't know where they were. When we got to the river, it was getting dark, with all the heaviness of a winter evening. We worked our way eastwards until we got to the town and the high street, feeling hungry and strangely displaced.